This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, July 1st. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, turning garbage into gas. We'll look at a landfill that's thinking ahead, turning trash into ethanol, but some say the process is too costly to be practical. We'll have that story. Also, a look at the forecast for the next few days and the upcoming 4th of July weekend from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. Illinois is at its second budget impasse in as many years. Amanda Vinicky explains an effort to prevent future fiscal uncertainties on this first day of the new budget year.
It's unclear what Governor Rod Blagojevich will do with the spending plan lawmakers sent him. But one thing is clear. State workers, agencies, and organizations that count on state funds are eagerly anticipating that action, as their own budgets depend on it. It's the second year they've been left waiting. Last year, a record struggle over the budget meant Illinois went without one until late summer. Republican Representative Mike Tryon of Crystal Lake says there's a solution. Tryon proposes that if, at any time, Illinois does not have a new budget in place by July 1st, the previous fiscal year's appropriations will continue.
If we get to an impasse, the basic services of the state of Illinois will not shut down.
Tryon's plan stalled in the General Assembly, so for this year at least, there's no such backup. Tryon predicts Illinois could face similar budget struggles for the next several years. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
More than 140 Urbana residents voted last night on putting a non-binding instant runoff voting referendum on the November ballot. The answer was no. By a 98-43 vote, those attending a special session of the Cunningham Town Meeting said the question should not go to voters. The special meeting was the latest attempt by supporters to get a referendum on instant runoff voting on a local ballot. But Urbana Mayor Laurel Prussing, who opposes IRV, says the question needs more discussion first.
Well, I think that people need to study things before the questions get put on the ballot. And the rush has always been put it on the ballot and then we'll discuss it. And I think that's backwards.
Meanwhile, IRV backer Gerald Cruz says it's Prussing who has it backwards. He says the best way to generate meaningful public discussion on instant runoff voting is to put it on the ballot first.
Between now and November, we could have had meetings at the Civic Center or here. The League of Women Voters could have hosted a series of civil debates. You could have had information and pollsters. People could come and learn.
Cruz says he thinks instant runoff voting is dead in Urbana for this year, but he says its supporters will continue to fight for it. Backers say it would increase voter turnout, ensure majority votes in multi-candidate races, and increase prospects for third-party candidates. But Mayor Prussing argues that IRV is too complicated to explain to voters and would have a damper effect on voter turnout. In a second referendum question asking for the posting of city financial documents on the Urbana Municipal website, the vote was also no. Its sponsor, Diana Vasek, asked for the question to be rejected because city officials are ready to consider the topic on their own. An Indiana toddler apparently drowned in a swimming pool accident in southwest Champaign yesterday. County Coroner Dwayne Northrup says 3-year-old Wyatt Daniel DeJesus of Linton, Indiana, was pronounced dead at Carl Foundation Hospital yesterday afternoon. The Champaign Fire Department says firefighters responded to a report of a child in a pool in the 4300 block of Brittany Trails Drive. There's been no formal announcement on the cause of the child's death, pending results of an autopsy. Champaign police are investigating the death. The new federal farm bill includes an increase in funding for food pantries and nutrition programs. Senator Dick Durbin visited a food bank in Urbana yesterday to illustrate the need. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
From its warehouse on Urbana's north side, the Eastern Illinois Food Bank distributes food to food pantries and other food programs in some 15 central Illinois counties. Executive Director Jim Hyers says requests for food go up a little each year, but in the past year or so, the requests have gone up 10% to 15%, 23% in Champaign County.
40% of every household that visits a food pantry has at least one working adult, so wages are not kept up. Cost of fuel. We've seen lines increase as that's gone up proportionally.
Hyers says about 20% of their food supply comes in the form of federal commodities. That portion had gone down with the expiration of the 2002 Farm Bill. But the new farm bill, which became law in mid-June, will provide about $4 million additional dollars a year for Illinois food banks, as well as money for other nutrition programs. Senator Dick Durbin says that funding will help meet a growing need for food as the economy softens.
It's not a huge sum of money, but it's helpful. And we need to be prepared to do more because these food banks are providing the essentials for a lot of people in our state.
The increased food money is part of the Farm Bill's Hunger-Free Communities Act, which Durbin sponsored. The act also includes a new anti-hunger grant program that encourages local communities to work together to identify and address hunger. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Champaign-Urbana public health officials are warning the public to avoid tick bites after a local dog was found to be infected with Rocky Mountain spotted fever. The disease is spread by ticks and is potentially fatal to humans if it's not diagnosed and treated with special antibiotics. Lynn Haramus of the Illinois Department of Public Health says the symptoms of Rocky Mountain spotted fever include flu-like symptoms, rashes on feet or arms, decreased appetite, sensitivity to light, and diarrhea. And he says people should take extra care when removing ticks that spread the disease.
Ticks need to be removed either with a pair of forceps, pull the tick directly out, or use your fingers covered by a tissue. For example, don't de-tick dogs with your bare hands because the secretions from the ticks can get on your fingers, and if you rub your eye afterwards, you can be infected by that route.
Haramus says Rocky Mountain spotted fever is not contagious through casual contact, only by the bite of a tick carrying the disease. He says the best protection is to avoid ticks altogether by wearing long pants and using insect repellents. Champaign-Urbana's Public Health District will identify ticks for Rocky Mountain spotted fever free of charge. You can bring tick specimens to the district's office in Champaign weekdays from 8 to 4. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Trash is usually out of sight, out of mind, but occasionally garbage grabs attention, especially when it starts costing a lot. Landfill fees are going up, and with higher costs to ship or truck garbage, a lot of communities are scrounging for alternatives to landfills. Sean Ali of the Environment Report found one community that hopes a trendy fuel might solve its garbage problem.
For most of us, there is nothing less sexy than trash. But in part of Indiana, that's changing.
One second.
Take your time.
I'm waiting for Jeff Langbin. He heads a solid waste district in northwest Indiana. Lately, Langbin's phone is ringing off the hook from reporters and colleagues. And why are they calling? Basically, it's because Langbin's county is leaning toward doing something new with garbage, something that intrigues trash bureaucrats, maybe even the one in your town. You see, Lake County, Indiana is this close to letting companies convert most of its garbage into ethanol, you know, to run cars. Langbin says his landfill costs are rising quickly. In his case, that would be $42 per ton.
The two garbage to ethanol providers were for $17.50 a ton. And that savings alone made our board say, hey, we have to pay attention to this.
And so Lake County, Indiana sat down with ethanol operators.
And we asked, what does it cost? Is there any of these things operating in the country? All of the standard questions that you would ask.
Wait a minute, one second. When you asked who else has done this and they said no one, what'd you think?
Well, the fact of the matter is that the components are being used and have been used for a very, very long time.
Sure, some components of garbage to ethanol technology have been around for a while. But if you ask ethanol producers where they actually turn trash into ethanol, they say they can do it in labs or in test facilities. And that's got some folks in the trash biz nervous.
Guess I'd say I'm cautious and wary of any new technology to process solid waste.
Jeremy O'Brien researches trash for the Solid Waste Association of North America, a trade group. He's seen landfill alternatives come and go.
Early on in the 1970s, we tried a number of technologies, including composting the waste stream. We tried a technology called anaerobic digestion, and then we also tried incineration.
Of those, only incineration survived. But early incinerators had a nasty habit of spewing toxic pollutants, stuff like dioxin, out their smokestacks. O'Brien says incinerators are now cleaner. His point, though, is that it takes time to improve technology, and he worries some communities bent on turning garbage into ethanol could end up holding the bag.
The facility could fail early on and they'd be stuck without having a place to to put their waste.
Indiana's Jeff Langbin says that won't happen to his county. He says the ethanol companies will cover their own financing, and the county will have insurance as a backup. But speaking of backups, there already is another landfill alternative, right?
Why can't we just recycle all this stuff and make it into new things that people buy again?
There are a number of people out there that could give a rat's patoot about recycling. And that's the waste stream that we're having to deal with. The other reality of it is recycling is expensive. So I don't believe it is a realistic possibility for us to just recycle everything, both from a cost standpoint and from a societal standpoint.
So Langbin says recycling helps, but ethanol might do more. He says he kind of wishes someone else would try trash to ethanol technology first, but it is worth testing out. And he says it might be so cheap, he won't even have to hold his nose. For The Environment Report, I'm Sean Ali.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about The Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
The next couple days, rain will start moving into the area, but it may be going away before at least the last two-thirds of the 4th of July weekend. In the meantime, today, though, it'll be sunny across the two states, highs from 82 degrees in northeast Indiana to 88 in southwest Illinois. Ed Kieser says tonight will be clear to partly cloudy, lows between 59 and 65, and for tomorrow, increasing clouds in northern and west central Illinois with scattered showers and thunderstorms during the afternoon. Elsewhere, still mostly sunny for tomorrow. The highs between 85 and 92 degrees. Sunny at 84 in Champaign-Urbana tonight, clear in 63. Sunny, breezy, and more humid with a high near 90 tomorrow. Some showers and thunderstorms likely to move in tomorrow night with a low of 66. Then showers and thunderstorms in the forecast for Thursday and Thursday night. Maybe a few morning showers on Friday morning. And the 4th of July high only around 74 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, July 1st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.